Yevamos, Perk Tes Vav, Mishnah Gimel, 15:3. Now, this again is a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, in which Beis Hillel started out being more machmir than Beis Shammai, and ultimately they relent and they agree with Beis Shammai in the end, ruling like Beis Shammai, and that is also recorded in Maseches Edus at the end of the first perek, and here it is over here as well. Now, the points of our Mishnah here is that we've established that a single witness, even the woman herself, is believed to testify that her husband died. But there's a world of difference between believing her so she can marry somebody else and believing her that she should be able to collect her ksuba. Those are two different matters. One is an iser v'heter, you know, I'll call it ritual law, her being able to marry somebody else. And the other one is dine mamonos, it's a financial matter. And you don't really have any case anywhere where a single witness can be relied upon to extract money from somebody else. You always need to have two witnesses to establish the halachic fact. And here, you don't have that. So the machlokas will be regarding whether she, the widow, can also collect her kasuba, or if she can only remarry. So, Beis Shammai omrim tinase v'sitol ksubasa. Beis Shammai say it's a package deal. She can get remarried and she can also collect on her kasuba. Beis Hillel omrim tinase v'lo sitol ksubasa. Beis Hillel said there's two separate things at work. As far as her being able to remarry, we rely on the single witness. The Eid Echad is going to be Ne'eman, the single witness we relied upon for the remarriage part of it. But to extract the money from the estate and take it as her ksuba, so that no such thing. So Amar lehen Beis Shammai attempt to convince Beis Hillel that their position is untenable based on I'll call it on reason. They say hitartem erva chamura. Beis Shammai say to Beis Hillel, wait a second, you're letting this woman get remarried. The stakes there are adultery and a death penalty. That is a severe thing that you're being lenient on. Lo tatiru es hamamon hakal, but you're not prepared to be lenient and let her collect the 200 zuz from her ksuba, which is, of course, okay, that's gezel, that's theft, but it's like much less severe of an infraction. So if you're going to be lenient and let her get away with a stricter thing, you should be lenient to get away with a less strict thing. Amr lehen Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, no. That doesn't hold water, because matzinu she'en ha'achim nichnasin la'nachla alpia. They say, listen, Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, listen, even you agree that if this woman comes back and claims that her husband's dead, based on that testimony, we will not let her brothers take, like, as an inheritor, like, say that she has a brother. So let's say that he had a brother. Reuven's wife comes and says, Reuven's died. Based on that testimony, we will not let Shimon take his stuff, his brother Shimon take his stuff. And although normally the heir is the son, not the brother, but in the event that the person has no children, has no living father, then indeed it's his brothers who are his heirs. And we said in the previous Mishnah, you saw that we're allowing Yibum to happen. So we're allowing this brother to marry her, but we're not allowing her, the brother, to inherit him. Inherit the brother's stuff, to take the brother's stuff. So you see that's exactly analogous, where you're permitting something severe, both adultery and potentially, you know, Eishes Achiv, sleeping with your brother's wife, that we're allowing to happen, but even Beis Shammai would agree, we're not allowing the brother to collect on the estate as if he's the heir, because one witness is not enough. So you see that you have to differentiate between the Erva, the Araya situation of marriage, and the Mamona situation of taking what isn't yours financially. And since Beis Shammai do agree with that, they do agree that the brothers will not be able to inherit based on her testimony, so Beis Hillel sort of, it's one point to Beis Hillel. And nevertheless, Beis Shammai do a second attempt, and this is going to be the winning argument. They say, well, Amar lehem Beis Shammai, v'halo mesefer ksubasa nilmod, we can learn the intention of the obligation that the husband undertook with the ksuba based of the customary language that's included inside the ksuba. Shukosavla, because what was customary, at least in that time and place, to include in the ksuba, the marriage contract, was, she'im tinasi la'acher, titli mashakasav lichi, that if you're going to be marrying somebody else, you'll also be take what's, you know, what's rightfully yours in this ksuba. So we see from what's the customary language of the ksuba that the intention of the husband is that her ability to remarry and her ability to collect on her ksuba are interdependent. They are connected one to the other. The rationale would be something like, now I'm putting words in the Mishnah aren't there, but the rationale would be something like, you know, this is like effective kind of like her as her dowry, right? She's going to get remarried. He wants his wife to be able to start a new life, and therefore he's happy for her to have her ksuba. Just he's happy for her to remarry in the event that he needs, you know, he's out of the picture. So the point is, that the spirit of the ksuba commitment is that if she's able to remarry, she's able to collect the ksuba. And that spirit is reflected in what's customarily written inside the ksuba. So therefore, she should be able to collect. It's not the same as having a third party trying to collect, like the brothers, on her, based on her testimony. It's the ability of her to be taken care of based on her husband's commitment to her at the time they get married, that she'll have some sort of financial stability in the event that he's out of the picture. And on that, Chazru Beis Hill, Lahoros Kadiver Beis Shammai, Beis Hill were convinced, and they then began to rule like Beis Shammai, that she can not only remarry, but also collect on her ksuba. Now, let me just speak out for a second. What is not the pshat here? Don't misunderstand it. It's not what Beis Hill are saying, Beis Shammai. It's not Beis Shammai saying that the fact that he wrote in his ksuba that she can collect if she can remarry, we're enforcing the ksuba's language. That's not what's happening here at all. In fact, this time in the Mishnah, might have been customary, but if it happened to be a scenario in which he didn't write that in her ksuba, it wouldn't matter. She could still collect. And all the more so, and nowadays, that's never written in the ksuba, that piece of language doesn't exist in the ksuba. And nevertheless, the halacha is like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that she indeed can collect and get her ksuba based on her own testimony. That's the din lahalacha.